More now of Greater LA from KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. While professional soccer in the United States has been slowly growing and reaching mainstream popularity over recent decades, recreational soccer, especially for kids, has been huge for a long time. Weekend soccer games are practically a rite of passage for boys and girls of all skill levels all across the country. The culture even gave birth to a political interest group called Soccer Moms. Remember them? KCRW's Bob Carlson, host of the Unfictional podcast, brings you the latest in a series called Football Confidential that you're hearing this month as the World Cup competition continues. Today, a look at the place where the seeds of this American brand of youth soccer were planted, a place in the South Bay where it became so popular they called it Soccer City.
If you visit a park or school athletic field on a Saturday or Sunday in the fall, what you'll see is probably the best example of a truly homegrown American soccer culture. Kids from kindergarten and up, playing mostly on small fields with small goals. The sidelines are lined with parents fully invested in the game. And there will be orange slices at halftime. AYSO, the American Youth Soccer Organization, is where all of this started. It's nationwide, run mostly by parents and volunteers, and it was founded in Torrance in 1964. It's been an on-ramp for American kids to learn about soccer. And you can see how far youth soccer in LA has come since the early days of AYSO when you watch an intense workout with young players from the Los Angeles Football Club Academy on the campus of Cal State LA.
Yes, I'm Todd Saldana. I'm the academy director at LAFC.
Todd Saldana himself was once a talented youth player, and he's been a first-hand witness to the growth of soccer in Los Angeles. He was drafted out of South High School in Torrance by the old Los Angeles Aztecs of the North American Soccer League. He's been a coach at UCLA, Cal Poly Pomona, and Loyola, and now he runs the successful academy at LAFC. But he began by playing AYSO in Torrance just a few years after the league was created. And he played with some of the key figures in the development of the league.
Like Ziggy Schmid was one of my coaches, who was one of the early AYSO guys. Hans Sterley, who was one of the founders of AYSO, was a West Torrance guy. I grew up in South Torrance.
You'll hear more about Hans Sterley later, but Ziggy Schmid is a major figure in the development of youth soccer and a foundational part of the U.S. professional game, one of the winningest coaches in Major League Soccer. After he passed away in 2018, the MLS Coach of the Year trophy was named in his honor. But he started out on one of the earliest AYSO teams after his family arrived from Germany and moved into a house near Alpine Village, the German-themed shopping center off the Harbor Freeway in Torrance.
Yeah, Ziggy's dad lived across the street.
Oh, really?
So yeah, it was like that was our meeting spot. We would meet at Alpine.
Alpine Village is an unexpected landmark for South Bay soccer of the 60s and 70s. When I was growing up playing AYSO, a German store there was the only place in the area that sold soccer cleats.
Yeah, you could get the latest kicker magazine from Germany, and you could get, you know, soccer boots shipped in.
When I asked Todd Saldana, who I should talk to, about the early days of AYSO and soccer in the South Bay, he said I should talk to Maureen Cano.
Hi, I'm Maureen Cano, and everybody calls me Cano. I'm the head women's soccer coach here at Cal State Dominguez Hills. This is my crazy 39th season as the head coach.
He's had a long career as a player and coach, and he ran a soccer camp with the name that's sometimes associated with him, Mr. Soccer. He said that before 1964, soccer in L.A. was a game played almost exclusively by immigrants who brought the game here and played in their local communities. Kids would learn from their parents. But there weren't many places where a young American player could discover the game for himself.
South Bay was non-existent, but in L.A., a foreign father would have a ball out, and the kid would go to the Greater L.A. League, the Continental League, the Latin Leagues, and take their boy, and the men would play every Sunday.
The 1960s were a period of tremendous growth in the South Bay. People moved to the area from all over the country and the world to work in the aerospace industry that was centered there.
Torrance, Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, all the way to Gardena, all the way to Palos Verdes, all the way to San Pedro, where I lived, in Torrance and Palos Verdes Boulevard. Every one of the neighbors pretty much worked at one of the aerospace companies. And we moved to Torrance. It was like moving to Disneyland. It was the best place in the whole wide world with a beach a mile away. And then soccer started in 1964.
That's when German immigrant and graphic designer Hans Stirley and a group of businessmen created AYSO. But even before that, when Stirley's sons were small, he was almost like a Johnny Appleseed of soccer.
Mr. Stirley lived across from Jefferson Elementary. He would walk right out there with his little boys and roll a soccer ball out there and just say, this is soccer. And then we'd play a little soccer and he would explain everything. And a lot of us knew of it.
When he was 10 years old, Marine Cano was walking through the neighborhood when he saw some kids he recognized.
And I looked over and I see these kids playing soccer, and I knew them from school. And one of the best athletes, Joe Girard, was out there with a couple guys I knew from class. So I saw him at class the next day. And he'd go, yeah, we signed up for this AYSO. It's soccer. It's just good. It's fun. So I signed up.
At the time, it cost $5 to sign up, and there were no age categories. Costs can range up to $200 or $300 a kid nowadays. In the beginning, there were four Torrance teams, and Hans Stirley's wife brought the first orange slices.
They put me at forward, and I was offside every time and didn't know what the heck was going on. So our goalie didn't show up. They threw me in goal, and I dove for a ball, and everybody on the sideline cheered because they'd never seen anybody dive. They just stood there and blocked it, and I dove for it, and everybody cheered. And when everybody cheered me for once, instead of booing me for being offside every time, I stuck in there, and it's my whole career for my playing days.
Marine Cano was put on one of the original teams called the Panthers. He had a friendly rivalry with Ziggy Schmidt, who was on one of the other teams. But it was a rivalry that led to a long-standing AYSO league practice of remaking new teams every year, different teams of kids with different coaches. It's meant to keep super teams from forming.
Ziggy was a member of the dreaded firefighters. They were loaded. They had everybody. But the Panthers were really loaded. It was like club soccer. You don't disband. So the first year and the second year, first place Panthers, my team in second place was firefighters, Ziggy's team. But we would always fight who had the better team.
It's part of an AYSO philosophy that's more egalitarian than most youth sports leagues. Girls' teams were added in 1971, and they retain the motto, everyone plays. Every kid is guaranteed to play at least part of every game.
That motto, that everyone plays, is why I have a career. Because at the time, I was no specimen. I had no confidence. I was just learning the game. I listened, and what those coaches told me, I did.
At the time, soccer was not loved by everyone. Some Americans were suspicious of it, thought it was a sport for foreigners or communists. And AYSO soccer goals would sometimes get pulled down by angry neighbors who didn't want them on fields meant for baseball. But despite that, soccer continued to grow in popularity. And by the time the kids who'd started playing in AYSO entered high school, the South Bay had become a hotbed of American soccer, with big crowds turning up to watch the local Torrance rival schools.
The biggest games with Coach Eaton at West, who just passed on, versus South High School with Roger Bryant. And those games were insane. You know, they had 3,000 people at Spartan South High School in a league game, packed house. You know what the nickname for South Bay was? Soccer City. Everybody had called it Soccer City because we were way ahead of everybody. They had an all-star game at El Camino College, packed house at 8,000 people. It was the AYSO All-Stars versus Hanover, Germany.
Despite playing a team from a soccer country like Germany, the team from suburban Los Angeles held their own, losing only in the final moments. A teenage Marine Cano was playing in goal.
They scored in the last 5 minutes past Cano. Broke through. I can remember thinking I got it, and then I went, okay, it's wide, and it went into the far side net, and they beat us 1-0.
In 1996, when Major League Soccer was established, one of the original teams was the LA Galaxy. And in what might be a testament to the soccer city, since 2002, the team has been playing in the city of Carson, in the South Bay, where an American soccer culture was invented. For KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson.
By the way, you can hear a longer version of this story and listen to all of the LA soccer stories from the series, Football Confidential, at kcrw.com/unfictional. That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, soccer, of course, has grown big time in America. And as far as electronic sports go, we've come a long way from the old days of Pong. Esports on the high school schedule, where American football is king. We'll take you there tomorrow on Greater LA. Check us out online anytime at kcrw.com/GLA. Tell us what's happening in your world, your neighborhood. Maybe you have a story to share, would like to talk about one that we featured here on GLA. kcrw.com/GLA. Zeke Reed, Sonia Geis, Bob Carlson, Phil Richards, Amy Ta, Carlos Ramirez, Sue Margulies, and Christian Bordahl all helped put the episode together this evening. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great night.